The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
We are finally back. Yay. Jim Norton, Matt Serra together. Cowboy Cerrone calls in.
That's it?
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again! He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
We are indeed back in full effect. Happy New Year.
I missed you, Jimmy. I missed you, Jimmy.
Chris doesn't ask me to call in when I'm not here. He doesn't like when I'm here. He doesn't want me to call in. He always says, Matt, you got to call in. But if I go away, he's like, all right, we'll see you in a month.
I don't think he wants to bother you.
He doesn't want me to call in when I'm
away. He knows I want to escape sometimes when I'm at Disney.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, this is actually my
He doesn't want to bother me. He makes sure he's like, we gotta get Matt on the phone. But if I go away, he's like, all right, we'll see in a few weeks.
No, Matt always wants to call in. I figured you're on vacation.
No, that's not true.
Matt's
busy with someone.
We were going to have Phoenix come in last week.
Yeah, I heard she was sick.
She was sick. She had the shits. No, I'm only kidding. She had the flu or something. Fucking Phoenix. I like Phoenix.
I got very sick New Year's Eve. There's a stomach bug going around. Oh, man. Right after the ball dropped, I went upstairs and threw up.
Really? Did you really?
No. Yeah, it was just, you know, a stomach bug or whatever, but it was awful.
I hate those stomach bugs. But did you have a good time at New Year's Eve?
I had an amazing week. I was gone. I was in Paris. Amazing. I can't believe I never went to France before. One of the best times of my life.
Yeah, were the people nice?
Very friendly. They were lovely people. And then I come home.
They get a bad rap about being rude.
I'm tired after the flight, and I'm going to sleep. And it's like 2 in the morning.
Yes.
Not last night, but it was Monday night. And I hear... And I'm like, what the fuck
Wait,
is that?
Where were you?
I'm home. Like metal creaking. And then...
What was that?
So I literally thought one of my windows had been blown in. I'm like,
it
something...
It was loud?
Extremely loud. I get up and I'm walking around. And my wall is rattling. My hallway wall is rattling. Yeah. So I immediately took my Black Sabbath poster off my signed picture and ran and put it on the fucking in the living room.
You didn't want to break that.
And I walk back into my bedroom and all of a sudden I'm stepping in water and I'm like, oh no.
What happened, Jimmy?
It was a burst pipe because of the cold. My apartment flooded. So I had the fucking, the super came up. It was a fire department showed up. It was a whole fucking thing. Ooh. So now I have to have my bedroom floor replaced. Luckily, I was there. Thank God it wasn't the night before, or I would have been flooding for an hour and a half before they knew whose apartment it was.
And it was your lucky guy. It was your apartment.
Well, there was no one above me. I live on the top floor, so there was no one above me. It was just the outdoors. They said it was the insurance people said it's happening all over the city. It's like, it's
really?
Too cold. Yeah, the cold, the pipes
burst. It is cold. I'll tell you, man, rolling this morning, my toes, I was sweating, but my toes were still cold.
It's freezing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's freezing.
It is cold in the city, Jimmy.
I was barefoot in the fucking ice water. The fire department showed up. What a sissy they thought I was. It was just water. Like, they're used to, like, real flooding.
Yeah.
And this sucked. But it was like, once you get the machine and you stop the, you flip the water off. Right? And now you just got to clean up the water. But, your wood floor is like, God, motherfucker.
So you watch the fights after the fact, by the way.
No, I watched them live.
Oh, you watched them live?
I watched them at 4 in the morning until 7 in the morning.
Look at you, Jimmy.
It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I was back in my hotel.
Are you staying home for a while? You're not traveling for a bit?
January 19th, I am in St. Louis, and I forget where I am the 20th, but you can bet I'm going to plug it. And I would rather be I would rather be in Boston, honestly, for that.
Yeah. I got to see when my guys are fighting again. I got to get back on the road with them. And I'm supposed to be going back on the road with Dana. But we'll see about that. But I did enjoy the fights the other night. Oh, but what I was saying was, yes, we had a couple of guys on last week. You know, I like having a co-host.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I didn't have one. You were gone.
I know.
Because Phoenix got that thing the last second. I go, Chris Producer, who you got? And he goes, no one. I go, all right.
See, he didn't have anyone. He still didn't want to go, hey, Jim, do you want to call in?
No, he doesn't. He felt that you were gone, you know, doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So it was me and Chris the Producer. And suddenly he doesn't want to chime in with the interviews.
So I asked you.
No, but I handled it well, though.
You handled it great.
Okay.
There was no
this
reason to
jump.
This
whole thing was just to lead into a... we had a compliment for me. We had that directory. Did you see the thing I did with the orc?
I did not. I didn't even know it was out yet. I remember you told me about it. I didn't know it was out.
3 minutes. It's 3 minutes. It's not even a quarter of one of your bits.
Are you in it for 3 minutes?
I'm in it for at least a minute and a half.
All right, that's good.
Maybe a minute.
Okay.
It's my first acting gig.
Was it good?
It's not for me to say.
I'll see
you
it later.
You have to watch
it. I'm sure you were good.
Well, now you got some pressure. Did you watch it?
I haven't seen it yet, honestly. I forgot to do it.
Maybe I should make some new friends.
Well, I didn't know. I thought it was something you shot and it wasn't out yet. You don't promote good enough. I didn't know when it was.
Even Din Thomas watched it.
Well, he knew where to see it.
His name's Dean.
Where do you see it?
Have some respect. You got to find it in your local things. So anyway,
I don't know where to see it.
Enough of that stuff. Not about me. All right, who's
got
Paul in? We got Cowboy Cerrone.
Cowboy Cerrone, yeah.
All right, and he's fighting Yancey.
Yeah.
Yancey. And doesn't he, that? But he didn't he say he wants to go down in weight? Am I not?
He said
he
wants
to go back down
to
lightweight. What is he? This is the Yancey's a welterweight.
This is at 170. Yeah, okay. I was going to say Connor. Cowboy mentioned that he was thinking about going back down to 155 because it helps him. You know, he's got to cut weight and he stays a little bit more focused. At 170, he's really not cutting that much weight to get to welterweight. So, but he's staying at welterweight for this fight.
Are we going to, we're going to start talking about some fights, or you want to dip our little toes into it? What do you want to do?
We can talk about the fights. I mean, it was a tremendous night.
You did like it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Let's talk.
A lot of decisions.
You
want to most
go to the
decisions.
Main card, or you want to talk about the... Oh, wait.
I will say on the undercard, the Vittori Akhmedov fight was a majority draw. What a great fight.
Yeah, did you agree with that being a draw? I personally thought Vittori had it. But I
wouldn't say I was devastated by it.
Okay.
I thought it was, you know, it was
I was
close
okay
enough.
With it being a draw, to be honest with you, but it was a fun fight for sure.
Yeah, it was a really fun fight. And I also enjoyed Khalil Roundtree and I don't know how to say his name.
Michael Olaszczyk.
Olaszczyk.
That's what I was going
to
say.
But to watch Khalil Roundtree kind of, because he throws so hard every punch, and to watch him kind of gas, and you could see, wasn't he in the first round, like deep breathing
oh, yeah.
and...
Yep.
So you knew that was not going to end well, but he lost unanimous decision. I don't know if he's gone to a decision in the UFC yet. That might have been his first decision, but he lost 30-27 on all three cards.
Yeah, what do you do? Like, if that was your fighter, Matt, obviously, you're not his coach or anything, but he looked great for the first 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes of the first round, but he is throwing 100% everything.
Yeah.
What do you, like, it's a finding a balance between messing with someone's style and also...
Well, that's got to get worked out, not fight night.
you know what I mean?
There's only so much you can do between rounds when the guy has no more lungs or if he's, you know what I mean, gassed out on the stool. I mean, that has to get worked out in training and sparring, you know, leading up to the fight. So, I mean, he puts so much into it. He's going to have to maybe fight in intervals a little more. You know what I'm saying?
But he has to know that before going in, that there's fighter fights like that.
Well, unless he's dropping every freaking sparring partner before it gets to that. I mean, that should be worked out in sparring. So, you know, who knows what's the case with that. But he's not known to gas, though. Isn't Roundtree gas a lot?
Yeah, he's known to throw very hard. And when you throw that hard, there's no way you're not going to be tired by the
so
second
you're trying
round.
To say he's known to gas?
I don't know if he's known to gas. He doesn't go that far in a fight. But didn't he? How many did he win
well,
in a
row? I was
going
to say, so
he
lost the Ultimate Fighter finale to Andrew Sanchez. That went to a decision. I don't remember specifically gas in that, but that was a decision loss. So.
And the other ones were all...
Otherwise, he has a submission loss to Tyson Pedro,
right.
And this most recent one. So that's it.
And but the main card was it was.
Wait. Are we doing our thing with the picks? Or are we?
Oh yeah.
Picks, yeah.
Well, we didn't do. Did we do Magny? Oh yeah, we did Magny Conor. We did the whole card.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the Rivera fight.
Okay.
So how are we going into this without you screwing it up now? Don't say who won.
Well, we'll just go through the fights. I mean, we could start with...
Magni, Carlos Condit.
All right, now who picked what?
We all had Carlos Condit. You guys had Condit by decision. I thought Carlos would knock him out, Neil out in the third round. We were all wrong about that. Neil Magny won the fight.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
What'd you think of it?
I agree with it.
Yeah.
It just feels like Carlos... It looks like somebody's fucking singing in the next room. What the hell is that?
I don't know.
I fucking heard something.
I did too.
But as Jimmy heard it, on this side of the table, we heard it. I feel that, you could chalk it up for maybe the fact that he's had so much time off. Maybe it's ring rust.
Although Dominic Cruz was saying, sorry, Matt, that hey, you can work that out in the gym. That should be worked out in the gym.
That's what I would say. But, you know, or you could say that Neil just was really on, man. Neil Magny did look on, and he basically outfought him. You know, and Carlos looked like he had a hard time getting his rhythm and just connecting and getting anything off. I just couldn't. And then I remember starting to think, all right, look, he's looking like he's at the end of the first round. I'm like, is he starting to get his rhythm? And he's starting to throw some stuff, getting closer. And there's an elbow over there. And just nothing was really connecting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then Neil Magny was game, you know, throughout.
Wasn't he coming off a loss to Magny?
Yeah, he lost
to RDA. That was his last fight. Okay. Yeah. That was a pretty devastating loss, though.
He just ran through him, really quickly. Cruz was saying that Condit, in order to get his flow going, he has to land a kick first, basically. Right. He starts all his combinations with a kick, and because of Magny's pressure and kind of keeping him at range, he wasn't able to do that.
So he had a great... He was catching those kicks. Right. No? He had a great... He had a great time catching it. I mean, he just had a lot of success with catching that thing, and that might have screwed him up, you know?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, he didn't really look on, man. He looked really like he didn't get beat up. You know what I mean? But he just, it's a just decision. And maybe now he knocks some rust off, man.
I thought I'd see him back.
It's not like he got blown out of the water or anything, but just had a hard time getting his rhythm down, you know? But props to Neil Magny for fucking just being game. You know what I mean? He was the underdog in that, wasn't he?
I
don't know. It was probably close. He came in as a slight favorite, but
okay. None of us picked that fight right.
No.
And did any of us get Cavillo Esparza right?
No, none of us did.
We all had Cavillo. Well, she was undefeated, so I mean, was she 7-0 at that point?
Yeah, she's 7-1
give
now.
Give me Carla's record really quick.
Sure.
Carla's not exactly a slouch.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it just seemed like Cynthia was on such a roll at that point. No, Carla's 13-4. She's lost to Randa Marcos, Joanna Janjacek, Jessica Aguilar, and then an earlier fight, you know, from 2010. So.
I think just because of the way Cavillo was taking everybody's back, we assumed that it was just going to end that way with a choke or a submission.
She was game. You know what I mean? It came down to that. Came down to the third round, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think so, yes.
You know what I mean? Because. She won the first round, I believe, Cynthia. Am I switching the rounds up?
No, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, she won it. She had her leg locked up pretty good in half guard, where she kept her down on her ass a bunch. And she just out-hustled that first round. But then the second round, that's when the table's starting to turn a little bit. And it came down to that third round. And Carla just, you know, might be an experience thing.
That's what it seemed like.
Do you think she stood too long? Did Cynthia stay up too long?
Carla's not that easy to put down, so I'm not sure if that was even by choice. You know what I mean? Like, right? I mean, Carla's,
yeah, no, Carla's a wrestler.
Yeah, she timed a nice takedown on her, but still, I think, you know, Carla, as it was going on, she was getting harder and harder to do that, too. You know what I mean? Carla is tough. And I mean, listen, it was a competitive fight. You know what I mean? But again, we didn't really pick them.
Yeah, no, but you knew by the end of the third round. I was not surprised at the.
I knew. No, you knew. I mean, it really did come down to that round, and Carla took that round. You know, what about Dan?
Well, this one we didn't pick because this was we didn't know that this fight was going to happen. Right. And it moved up. So, but this was a fun fight. I mean, Dan Hooker looked
crazy. Yeah,
fun fight.
It was.
I thought it was really fun, man. That guillotine was vicious.
Didn't he almost have him in the first round too? Or the second round? Didn't he almost have him, and then the bell kind of saved him? Am I thinking of a different the bell, the fucking boxing terms? But didn't the end of the round save him at one point? Or am I thinking of another fight?
I think that might have been a different fight.
Maybe it was. I thought he almost had him earlier.
But I mean, he was in the fight though, the KZ. But then he chose to go for that takedown, and he got his neck wrapped up real quick. That was a guillotine that he's used to. He's used to getting.
I thought he got wrapped up earlier than that. Well, I don't know why am I thinking again. It was 6:30 in the morning when I was watching,
right?
But I don't know why I'm thinking that he got wrapped up earlier and almost lost.
Not to switch gears, but you know they're starting to recognize my voice on my virtual reality. So we got some fans of the show.
Oh, good.
Battle Hardened. What's his name? Battle Hardened. Guy's like,
what's your name?
You
on
sound
there?
Like, well, you know what it is. It's my it was my wife's name on there because I got to change it on the Steam engine. So like, oh, by the way, it's not Ann, it's Matt, and this and that. Because the guys are talking to me like, Ann.
You can't use your real name.
I know. I got to change it. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll just get a bunch of friend requests, I guess. I don't know how it works. But anyway, I was playing the game I like called Onward. It's like Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. So much fun, Jimmy. So much fun. So anyway, and then this guy's like, you know, you sound just like Matt Serra. I'm like, oh, you caught me. He's like, oh, yay.
He probably recognized the name Serra, too.
I guess he put two and two
Serra
together.
And the voice.
Yeah. Because he guessed it. He goes, sure. You're Matt Serra. So I let the cat out of the bag, and then we got to the chopper together.
Oh,
I made
good.
A new friend.
That's good.
I make new friends online. Sometimes my wife, she's in the next room, she goes, and she hears me yelling and stuff, but I mean, it's all in fun. She's like, you're mean to your friends. Oh, I don't know these people.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not mean. I'm just saying, yo, get. Are you alive?
I wish.
Are you alive? Do you need a syringe?
I wish you got to the helicopter. It was like Apocalypse Now. Do you ever see that when they go to land the helicopter and the lady throws the fucking hat in and the helicopter blows up?
No. I forgot that part.
Oh, my God. It's so good. I want my men out. Mm-hmm. And fucking helicopter right. And she throws the hat in. And then Duvall fucking puts bullets in her back.
Did he?
Oh, did he?
Duvall was a badass.
He was great in that.
He was almost like a Stonewall Jay. He was like walking around. The bullets are flying, right?
Yeah, no shirt.
He had no shirt. He loved the surfing fucking, guy.
He had a neckerchief. A yellow neckerchief.
He wanted to see the dude surf, remember?
He wanted to see Lance surf, yeah.
That's a fun movie.
It's a great movie.
Right?
So you gotta change the name on it.
Yeah. Anyway, I gotta learn how to do that. But boy, am I having fun in my virtual reality, Jimmy. I have too much fun with it, Jimmy. I give that kind of hope that you could get to a certain age. By the way, the dude was from New Jersey. He's 42. Oh. So I'm not the only middle-aged man playing these games, Jimmy.
No, there's a lot of older men playing the games. A lot of 50-year-olds play them.
Yes?
Yeah, I don't, but a lot of guys do.
Don't judge me, Jimmy.
I'm not.
That's what I like about us. We don't judge each other about anything.
No, why should we?
You know? Yeah. I mean, listen, if that's wrong, playing video games and...
Then you don't want to be right.
I know, man. I got to come up with something better with that. You know what I mean? Anyway, back to the fights, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
We're not here to talk about my video games. Oh, by the way, not to do a movie minute right now or anything, but you know what? Sometimes you get an idea and it sounds like a good idea, but then you play it and it's not a great idea. You think of these movies as a kid. So my kids love mermaids and we were bored the other day. So I go, you know what? What should we watch? As a family, because we watched like Back to the Future, some old movies.
Right.
So I go, you know what? I go, well, let's watch Splash with Tom Hanks and John Candy. It starts off with John Candy as a kid looking up skirts. Then it goes to the future. He's looking up skirts. He's like dropping change. He's like a pervert. And then this dude, not for nothing. I forgot that Daryl Hannah is like a fucking nympho. She's stuck on her fucking tongue down the guy's throat every 2 seconds.
I don't remember the movie.
Oh, she wasn't talking a lot, but she's just smiling at him and going right away. I'm like, all right, you know, I don't want my kids to see too much kissing. They're all making out all over the place.
I liked her better on Wall Street.
What happened to her on Wall Street?
She's a money hungry bitch. Well, she used to fuck Gordon Gekko and then she starts giving it to Bud Fox.
Yeah!
I can't stand with you, Bud.
But anyway, Eugene Levy felt bad, and he was first. He was like tried to expose her for being a mermaid.
I've never seen the whole movie.
You never saw Splash?
I remember it.
Come on in, the water's fine.
Yeah,
that's John Candy. I like John.
There's
Candy.
No one funnier than John Candy.
John Candy was great in that.
Amazing.
But he's just looking girls up. He was like a total Harvey Weinstein in this thing.
Yeah, creep.
He's a creep.
He's a funny dude, man.
Oh, but it was so anyway, you know. Hope I didn't scold my kids every 2 seconds. I'm like, all right, kissing again. Cover, don't look. Too much kissing. Yeah. You think it's harmless?
Yeah, PG movie.
Well, back then. Now, I think it would have been PG-13 now.
Maybe.
Anyway, Splash, kids. If you haven't seen it, you like mermaids. Good special effects were back in 1984.
I'll see.
I was 10 years old when that came out. I didn't mean to yell it.
That's 30 years ago?
What?
30 years ago.
I'm going to say yes.
35 years ago.
Splash. Wait. 1984. Yeah,
34 years ago.
Thank you. I was 10 years old. I watched that. Oh, it's not a big story. But, you know, I just showed my kids the other day, and I think they liked it.
I'm sure.
It's a mermaid.
Yeah.
You know? And it was good special effects.
But mermaids don't have pussies, though.
How do you know?
Because their fucking legs were all welded together with fish
but
scales.
Maybe it opens up and it's fucking... Well, first of all, it's make-believe. I'm like, I'm trying to say, well,
mermaids
maybe
are disgusting.
No, man.
The second half is a fucking fish. You have to touch her smooth back and then you hit those scales.
Yeah.
Her ass has scales on it. Not even a crack. A little hole the duty falls out of.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Is that what happens with the fucking mermaid?
Yeah, you watch a fish shit. Doesn't make you horny.
That's true.
Little turds just kind of roll out while the dumb thing swims through them. Ugh.
Yeah, you don't want to look at the tail.
No.
You know? I wish she's attractive face, though. Pretty hair.
Good. It's good she has good hair.
There's no such thing as mermaids.
No, I know.
To a guy that talks about his comic book movies.
You know, horny you have to be on the sea when you're a sailor to think a siren song, to hear a mermaid and you want to go in there? You know how bad you need to fuck to want to bang a half fish lady? How lonely are the open seas?
I have no answer.
That's what those old guys would say. The song of the siren that makes you crash on the rocks, you know? Yeah.
Jimmy, yeah. You see any good movies lately? We'll get back to the fight in a
second. I saw It.
Oh! I didn't see It. How was It?
Very well done. A couple parts of it I didn't like, but it was pretty scary.
I never seen the old one.
The language was great.
Why?
Because they just spoke in real language. They used real language from the 80s. They were good.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Did you see the old one?
No, I read the book. The old one was awful with fucking John Thomas from fucking The Waltons.
I'm not a huge Stephen King fan.
Oh, he's great, dude. Yeah. The Shining, Carrie,
No, okay, listen, he's not a lemon. Maybe I'm not a big horror fan.
A fucking The Running Man with Stephen King.
Oh, no.
Shawshank Redemption.
You're wrong with that. That was with Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Running Man. No?
Shawshank Redemption.
Anybody? No. The Running Man? It was.
Shawshank Redemption?
The Running Man.
Wait.
He's on the game show with Richard Dawson?
Yeah, it's Stephen King.
He made that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie up?
He wrote it.
He did? And it was Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie? Are we thinking of the same running?
Yes. He wrote, it's a short story. Stephen King was so successful, he wrote something called The Bachman Books.
Oh.
He wrote his Richard Bachman to see if they would sell. He did four short stories. The Long Walk, Rage, The Running Man, and Thinner. Those are all Stephen, but that's still a Stephen King story, which was great. The Running Man was a Stephen King story, which was great. Trucks became Maximum Overdrive with Emilio Estevez, which was a Stephen King story. It, Carrie, The Shining, fucking Shawshank Redemption, Misery.
I like Shawshank.
You really didn't like The Shining?
I like The Shining.
Yeah, Misery was good. He's done a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah.
King is a genius.
I like The Mist. What is it?
The Mist? That's Stephen King?
Yeah, but then I think they did a TV show of that too recently.
I think they did.
I don't know if that took off. But the movie was good. And then the ending, they really fuck you.
I'll tell you what Stephen King screws up with. When he gets involved with the movie, he fucking ruins it.
Why?
When he just, I don't know, because he's too married to what he thinks it should be. He wrote, what was that fucking long one too, about the end of the world, which was good?
The Adventures of Shawnee Carter?
No, I did not see that.
I don't know.
It was...
What?
Come on, it was like 1,100 pages.
Oh, I don't know, man.
It was a complete... Look it up. It's a... Oh, my God. Stephen King's book about the end of the world.
Oh!
I didn't like the names he chose. Like The Walking Dude, I thought it was an awful name, and Mother
Earth.
I saw
that other movie with him.
I hated the names.
With the gunslinger. What was it called? Was it called The Gunslinger?
Yeah, The Gunslinger, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
No, it's called The Tower. Dark Tower, yeah.
Not bad, but kind of
I never saw it.
Man.
Oh, The Stand?
Thank you, yes, The Stand.
The Stand?
Yeah. The Dome, something Dome was him?
Under the Dome.
Under the Dome?
Under the Dome.
Dude, he's written so many things. Oh, Christine? Yeah. About the haunted car?
All right.
He's fucking good, man.
Yeah?
He's written some scary shit.
I don't think I like a lot of those. I saw Shawshank Redemption. I liked it.
It was good. Yeah, the original book was called Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah?
Because it was the poster of Rita Hayworth that he throws the rock through.
Oh, no, she doesn't have a huge part in the fucking movie.
That was the name of the short story, I'm just saying.
Oh, that was a short story.
It was a short story. Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank. He wrote a great one about a vampire that like fucking pilots a plane or something.
Shawshank was kind of, listen, I know he got fucked by the lady guys, the guys that would.
They all raped him?
Yeah. They didn't show it. They should have showed it to make it more realistic.
Sure.
Because they made prison look too nice in it.
Yeah.
Everybody's all happy.
You thought prison looked too nice in the show?
Well, he's always wanted to be an accountant. Yeah. And he figured he could start this
up. I mean, I don't know. They were all like chummy, and then the new kid got there. He had an attitude, but we liked him immediately. Right. Really?
We liked him immediately. It's like a Morgan Freeman. Stop it.
The lady. You know, how often you look
enough of his fucking
shoes?
Narration. What? Oh, yeah.
The shoes. But,
How often do you look at a man's shoe? I don't know. You tell me.
I like that movie though, Jimmy. That made me
I have much more of an Escape from Alcatraz guy. Stephen King. I mean, Clint Eastwood's nice ass as he's walking down the hall in the beginning. Show his cheeks.
Did they really?
It's a great movie, Escape from Alcatraz.
All right, back to the fights.
Anyway, back to the fights.
Sometimes we take a little left turn.
That's okay.
And then we come back.
Now I know we all picked Khabib.
What do we got? Oh, let's talk. Is that what we're up to already?
Yeah.
Shit, we're flying. I'll tell you right now, Khabib. Man.
Is a monster.
I mean, all he needs is, I mean, he's getting that takedown. He's getting the takedown.
There's no way you can stop him for long. He pressured Barboza horrendously, and there was no way. Edson got a few kicks off. He started with those low kicks. He was getting them off, but they weren't enough to stop Khabib. They just weren't enough to keep him off.
It's funny how it starts off with some of these fights where guys try to do their game plan. I'm talking about fights, the last couple, like Michael Johnson versus him, versus Khabib, and now it's in Barboza. They have a game plan, and look, the first minute or so, you're saying, oh man, this guy might have solved this riddle. He's landing, like Michael Johnson was going to the body, he's going down, going upstairs, he was moving, hitting, and oh man, he shook, oh man, I had him rocked at one point. And then the second hits the floor, it's already, they're not only losing the round, it's lucky if they get out of the round.
It's a schoolyard beating.
But it goes from such a reversal of man, this guy's hanging in the fight. Maybe he's going to do, it's on the floor. It's like, dude, I don't know if he's getting out of this.
Barboza looked the way I would have looked, like on the face. Like that's how I would look if I was being beaten up. and unhappy.
Well, that's what everybody looks like. They just look stunned by how powerful the guy is.
I think he's a lot stronger than people think he's going to be.
And you know, Ricardo Almeida is working as the jiu-jitsu coach of Edson Barboza. So they're doing nothing. And I seen the countdown special, and I seen him working some, you know, butterfly guard to making framework to getting back up. And I'm like, well, this is, I want to see if this is, if he has anything down there. And sure enough, it's not so much that he's doing things wrong down there, but there's levels on in everything in this. And on the floor, he's on a whole other level than anything I've seen. Yeah, I want to see. Now, look at Tony, and I think Kevin Lee is very dangerous.
Yeah.
But now you look at Kevin Lee getting mounted and doing what he did to Tony Ferguson. And I hate that. And I don't want to knock Tony Ferguson.
What Ferguson did to him, or what he did to Ferguson?
No, what he did. But Ferguson ended up taking him out. Yeah. But until then, but before that, you know, Kevin Lee got mounted, passed his guard, got mounted on him. Got mounted, and the round ended with him maybe getting out. But was he mounted when the round ended? I forgot.
It was like towards the end of the round, but yeah.
But, you know, that's I'm not saying that's Kevin Lee, but you got to assume that Khabib's on, you know, look at Khabib on top. I mean, I haven't seen anybody do what Khabib does.
But have we seen anybody fight Khabib who is really, really good on the floor? Like, I mean, Michael Johnson is known more for stand-up, and so is Barboza.
He's got a decent wrestling background.
Yeah, Michael Johnson has a wrestling background.
But, I mean, you don't look at him as like, oh, there's a guy who's...
them, though. And look what he did to RDA. Right. RDA's good on the floor.
Yeah.
RDA, fight, I mean...
He just puts you against the cage and smothers you, and he did that. He was pulling his arm out.
Didn't they have the clips of him wrestling a bear as a kid?
Yeah.
Was that him?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so awesome. He is so, like, powerful, and he's used... And technical, but it's a different thing when this guy gets a hold of you. It's not like... I mean, look at Conor McGregor. He had his hands full with the Chad Mendez, who basically...
3-week camp, yeah.
Yeah, basically. So it's no camp. Guy was elf hunting or whatever it was. You know, and that guy gave him some trouble on the floor. Now, and he lost position because he went for a funky guillotine. If this guy gets a takedown on anybody, you're lucky to survive the round.
No one thinks, I know Connor has to know that he can't beat him on some level. I mean, he might be able to knock him out if he hits him because apparently his left is, they say he's just, you know, what did Poirier say? It's harder than anybody's fought. Yeah, he can knock, I think, most guys out in that division if he hits him. but you had better land the first one, because the first punch you throw and don't land and he grabs you, you're finished.
Yeah.
You're finished.
Battle through. Yeah. No,
then again, every time we think Conor's finished, he winds up winning.
Yeah, this, I mean, Khabib is obvious. Like, if you had to design a fighter that was going to be a big problem for Conor, it's Khabib. Yeah. And they went back and forth on Twitter, which we can go through in a minute. But we all had Khabib. I got 3 points for that, though, because I had it by decision.
Okay.
Because I figured Edson would be able to survive, even though it was a beating.
I think he said he did that. He went there on purpose. Yeah. Listen, it is what it is. I'm pretty sure Khabib said that he did that on purpose. He went three. He did the whole fight for the right. Did he
say Yeah. Well, because he's been out for a while and he wanted to test himself. And
talking to Dana White in between rounds. Hey, what are you thinking of my performance? Dude, the guy's fucking.
He was waiting on Dana's car after the event. He was sitting on Dana's car with one of his hats there, and Dana like posts like, "Look at this this son of a bitch is waiting for me."
Yeah.
He's
a fucking problem for anyone. Him and Ferguson is still gonna be a great fight though. I don't think Ferguson's intimidated by him. I think Ferguson is.
I was so excited for that when I was gonna go down. Since that, we saw him fight Kevin Lee, Tony Ferguson, and that makes me feel a little more confident, a lot more confident in saying that there's got to be some corrections made before he gets Khabib fights him. You know, again, Kevin Lee was dominating him down there. Whether he got tired for whatever reason, and you know, listen, Tony Ferguson outlasted.
How
lot of
did
guys.
He lose that fight? I don't remember the fight.
He gassed down, got triangled.
Yeah, but they're saying, he had a staph infection at the time.
On his chest, right? That's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So you know, you look at that, and it's like shit, man. Like I don't. But hey, Tony Ferguson finds ways to win.
Yeah.
But Khabib right now looks as close to indestructible as there is in that division. I mean, listen.
Was Ferguson saying that he wants Conor interim against the champion? He's fair to want that. He's not wrong to want that.
Right. Well, it's an interesting situation now because obviously everybody's talking about Khabib versus Conor because that's a marquee matchup. But Tony Ferguson is the interim champ.
Yeah.
And so he'd have to fight Conor first, or if Conor's not coming back, maybe Khabib versus Tony Ferguson.
He's fought one fight.
Did you hear the tweet that Conor? I read that first because it's pretty funny. I don't know if you heard this, Jimmy.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so this was after, obviously, Khabib's win at 219. Everybody's waiting for Conor to make a comment. Conor tweeted, "That Dagestani was dog shit the other night. Yous are all nuts. Game full of sloppy bums asking to be slept. Pay me my worth, and King's back." And then Khabib responded to him and said, "Shut up, hashtag tap machine."
And then he had a chicken emoji.
And then Conor said, "Truly, truly, truly, get on your fucking knees and beg me. Otherwise, I don't give a bollocks. My whiskey's out this year, and that's Diddy bread." And then Khabib posted a picture.
Well, don't rush that. That's funny. Okay. The Diddy bread is great. Yeah.
He's going to be making real money.
That liquor comes out, and he's going to be making Diddy bread, he said. I like that.
So then Khabib responded with a picture of himself riding a bear chasing Conor, who's holding the title, and he looks all scared, which is hilarious. And then Conor replied to that, "I slaughter your pets and wear them as coats, and I only wear, them once.
Yeah. I only wear them once."
That's like a great nice preview into if they fought. Like, that would be a really fun build-up to that fight. Tony's in the mix, too.
I mean. And I get the part of Conor's thing is the money and spending the money, but I'm a little sick of hearing about it. It's like, it's been over a year since you fought at that weight or in the UFC. I'm tired of hearing, "Pay me my worth." Just leave the sport then. Like, you're a great fighter. I enjoy watching. Just stop it or stop holding up the division. I'm getting to a point where I'm losing interest in seeing the fight and I'm just getting irritated.
Yeah.
Like, I am much more interested in Khabib Ferguson than I am in Khabib Conor because I don't see Khabib Conor happening. He's not going to fight Khabib. It's not going to happen. He'll use a weight as an excuse. He can't make the weight. He is not going to get into the fucking cage with Khabib.
Khabib
would maul him against the fence and he knows it. And it's no disrespect to Conor.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, it's questionable whether anybody can not get mauled like that.
Yeah, by him. Right. Especially somebody who's not great on the ground. I mean, look, standing up, Conor's devastating. He really is. Yeah.
Right.
He's fast. He's beautifully accurate. He hits like a fucking sledgehammer. He is just not qualified to go on the ground. And that's not to insult him. Although, again, he fucking stopped Eddie from taking him down, but Eddie is not Khabib. He did a good job against Nate in that second fight, but he's not Khabib either.
Styles make fights. Tony Ferguson's a way better fight for him.
For Conor, yeah.
Sorry, I got my foot out.
Why sorry? Sorry about my heart on?
Fucking, you're so nasty. I'm taking my
Matt's barefoot in the studio. It's really creepy.
It is kind of creepy. What am I doing? Am I going right home after this, or am I getting lunch in the city? I was going to get lunch with my doctor friend, my friend Dr. Sherry.
Before we figure it out, do you want to talk about the cyborg?
Let's talk about it.
Well, okay. I don't
know. Sometimes I forget we're on air.
Honestly, talking about Khabib, and they kind of mentioned this, the way Holly, and again, Cyborg is not going to take you down and do necessarily what Khabib does, but she's pretty dangerous on the ground, and the way Holly... was using those underhooks to keep her against the kid was amazing. What a smart strategy. Her team is fucking amazing. Holly, even when she loses, except for Misha, it's always a decision. She's always tough. Her team is really great. She's prepared for every person she fights. Her game plan was brilliant to keep her up against. She was fighting somebody who I think hits a lot harder, who's better standing up. All right, maybe she's better with her legs, Holly, and maybe she's a little... But I think Cyborg is more dangerous standing up. She obviously hits harder.
Yeah, she's bigger than her.
And she's bigger, and she's much better on the ground. But what a brilliant game plan that was to keep her up against the cage. That's the thing, if anyone can pull that off against Khabib, that is the only way I think you're going to stop him from taking you down.
Well, what I would like to see, I want to talk about the Holly Holm fight, but styles make fights, and I wanted to see and we've seen it, and I think Holly was in the fight, but you know the decision's just. I mean, Cyborg looked great; she was stalking him down.
Not according to some judges.
Some judges what?
But the stinking shit judging.
What happened? Okay, tell me again. What's
I mean, 49-46. That's fair. Two guys thought it was 48-47. In favor of Cyborg. Am I crazy? I didn't think it was that close.
Yeah, two of the judges, and I was going to ask, two of the judges had Holly winning the first two rounds.
No way.
You can make an argument that maybe Holly won the first round or the second round, but I don't know about both. It's tough.
Bit of a stretch there, Matt. Comment.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was rooting for Holly, and I was, but Cyborg was cool, calm. She did not slow down. She landed the biggest shots. I mean, to Holly's credit, she could take a shot.
She sure can.
And before every round, she's sprinting back and forth, even when she's looking like a cyclops.
Her cardio is amazing,
You got to... Her stock does not go down. She's awesome, Holly Holmes.
Why is she losing all these fights? Like, she was what? She was 10-11-0. After she beats Ronda, she loses to Misha. She gets choked. She goes out punching. And then she lost to... who did she lose to? Jermaine Duranime. She lost, obviously, to Cyborg. And who was that third
Valentina,
loss to? Valentina Shevchenko. Okay, yeah. But it was a decision.
Yeah, where Valentina really just kept her off balance the whole fight, kept her at range.
She's hard to knock out, though.
She's as tough as they come.
Has she been knocked out or no? I mean, again, she's been put to sleep, but has she been knocked out? I don't think so.
I've seen her in a boxing match, she has.
No, I mean only, I'm thinking, no,
she
only
hasn't,
MMA.
She hasn't gotten knocked out in MMA, no.
Yeah, she's tough, she's courageous. And not for nothing, I know we just talked about it, but Edson Barboza did, to the end, he took some Hail Mary kicks and he tried to... So, I mean, that also deserves a little praise. Right,
he threw that spitting kick to the head. Did he hit it at the head, or was it a little bit off?
It glanced,
right?
Yeah, he was
the
tired.
The fact that he was going for that shit was awesome.
I guess at that point, you're like...
It did keep you like... Dude, that's all you could do, man.
That was his only option, right? It's to throw at the head.
But the fact that he did hit the head, even if it was a glancing blow, if that's in the first round... I mean, Khabib can be knocked out, but just no one has... I think people
Anybody
are afraid to throw
can.
Those shots... Because again, you're begging to be taken down when you throw that shot.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, you're damned if you do, and it better good.
And why are you putting your shoes on?
You actually were barefoot.
I know.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I can say.
Yeah.
Matt, let me ask you this. So, me and Jim both had Cyborg winning the fight.
Yeah.
How did I have?
You had Cyborg second round knockout. I thought it would go into the fourth round, potentially a knockout.
Okay.
And Matt, you had taken Holly by fourth round KO.
Okay.
What? I understand that completely, but what didn't happen that you thought was going to happen over the course of that fight?
I thought that she'd be a little bit more successful in the later rounds, and that the leg did come up a few times, but Cyborg took it away.
Yeah,
you know. So I was, you know.
Did you think Cyborg would be tired by that point?
I was hoping. I was thinking by the fourth round, I thought that Cyborg, to her credit, she wasn't in there going nuts trying to get rid of Holly.
Right.
She stalked her down. She was throwing. She's keeping her guard tight up top, and she took away Holly's offense, and then did some nice counter strikes and. And she was aggressive, but she wasn't overly aggressive where I thought she might have wanted to get Holly out of there a little sooner, not had that happen, and then Holly get a little more success in the later rounds.
Do you think that was a respect for Holly's cardio? The fact that she's like, I know I have to be patient because if this goes into the third and fourth round, there's a problem.
I think she knew she was fighting a tough girl that's not going to get rattled up there. And she fought smart. A lot of credit. You know, Jason Perillo, we got to have him on here soon. I like Jason Perillo a lot.
He's the
boxing coach of, Michael Bisping, Cyborg, and others. And a fan hit me up, and he also knows him. Oh, you got to get him on. Let's make a note of that.
I'm telling
you now because I'll forget by the time I'm fucking off the thing. But I love Jason Perillo's a good dude, man. Every time I see him, it's nice to see him. And I do like to see guys have success like that. You know what I mean? I heard that. The wink that Jackson Wink Camp went through, they're having a hard time, man. They're on like.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
What exactly? Read that to me.
I read that they've lost 17 fights in a row right now.
Wow,
which seems insane.
Is it 18 with Holly, or is that
counting John Jones?
Let me know.
Too, I guess.
The John Jones doesn't count because he won, but that's a no contest.
Okay,
let me find the article. I read the same thing because
somebody told me actually it was Longo. He's like, "Do you believe this?" And I'm like, holy shit.
Is there like a little weakness in their camp that people just figured out and are exploiting? Or is it just like, hey, that's what happens sometimes?
I think this is the game we play, man. I mean, shit. We just had two losses the other night, and even though one didn't feel like one. Or in my camp, I'm saying. Sure. Aljo got taken out, and Marab got marabbed. But, people don't like when I burp. Not everybody.
I didn't say that.
Not you, Jimmy. Don't Jimmy. I know, not you. But somebody texted me. They gave me a message. He goes, "Hope you can take some constructive criticism. I just don't like you when you burp."
No, wait.
You know,
Was this from Dana?
No.
Okay.
So then,
it was a text and not an Instagram.
No, it was an Instagram post.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You
know, here we go.
Then I was gonna ban him. They're like, all right, no, let him just. He said it's okay. He said. With all due respect or something like that.
Sure. Okay.
It's not a great story, Jimmy. What's up, Chris?
Okay, so I found it here. It says the list does not include the no contest by John Jones or the draw by Lando Venato, which was recent. But Cowboy's lost his
twice.
Last two fights.
Who did he lose? Darren Till, and who was the other one? Was it Masvidal?
He lost the split decision to Robbie Lawler.
Lawler? Okay.
Yeah.
When did he fight Masvidal?
That was a while. That was months ago. Okay. That was before the Lawler fight.
So he had won since then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, Cowboy's lost twice. Michelle Waterson has lost twice. Anthony Hamilton has two losses. Diego Sanchez has a loss. Alistair Overeem, Dotson, Ray Borg, Marching Tybura, Chase Sherman, Damian Stasiak, Jody Escobel, Johnny Hendricks, who was new to the camp, but he lost, Tom Dukinwah, Mitch Clark, Jack Marshman, Cub Swanson, and Tyson Pedro.
Wow.
17 losses, which is so crazy because...
That's in a row?
These are their seventh. Yeah, these fighters have lost.
Wait, now what about Holly Holm now?
Well, then 18? So that's 18 then if you had in Holly.
You don't gotta step on
and
their Condon, neck.
I'm sorry, it's 19 because Condon lost. Yeah.
You don't gotta fucking step on their neck when they're drowning. What is
it's just unbelievable, right?
That is an interesting stat. Like,
push
what?
Their head under the water,
it's just bad luck for a few fights in a row. I mean, that's.
Well, it's also the level of competition that these guys are fighting. You know, I mean, a bunch of these are title fights and, you know, number one contender fights and whatever. So.
It's a tough game, Jimmy.
It really is, but that is a stunning. I would love to know what other schools have. Like, that sounds crazy, but then you may go, no. At one point, Team Alpha Male lost 9 in a row, and then one point, the Baxaians lost, whatever the fuck, you know.
There's no stats like that. These guys got to get their act together, Jimmy.
There's stats like that.
I'm only fucking around.
I'm sure you can find them.
Guys, it happens. Guy, don't hate me, Jackson and Wink.
No, I'm just curious. Does every school go through that where they lose, you know, 6, 8, 12 fights in a row?
Yeah, tell us, Chris the producer. What's the stats on that?
Come on, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look it up, but I absolutely, I mean, I'm sure that's possible. I mean, it's not like, you know, you can't win every fight. And sometimes if you have 3 or 4 guys fighting in a month period, they lose, you know.
And they had that whole controversy now, Jackson Wink, Mark Aragon. He's the media director. I'm surprised the media director.
Oh, wait,
this.
I heard
How
something
stupid.
About this. What are you saying now?
He went on Twitter. Or was it? It was on Instagram. He commented on a photo of Instagram. But it's Jackson Wink MMA. It's not his personal account. He's representing the entire
team.
No.
It was from his personal account.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking it's from Jackson Wink MMA.
No, but in his bio, it says that he's affiliated with Jackson Wink.
Oh, what did this guy say?
And I'm totally stupid.
I'm not on Twitter. What did he say?
He wrote, this is on Instagram. He writes about a comment on her. This dude is tough as hell. That being said, At the press conference, he said Holly was the first one to make his nose bleed. You are my hero, Holly Holm. See you back in the gym. So he was. I didn't realize he was tweeting himself, but as a as a guy who represents kind of Jackson Wink, calling Cyborg a he and him.
Wait, and what did he say? He said
his nose. He calling Cyborg a man. So Cyborg responded saying it's not acceptable for an official representative of Holly Holm, Jackson Wink MMA, to call me transgender following my fight. Their official photographer was given a backstage credential to attend UFC, and I expected an apology or their ability to get credentials for future UFC events to be affected by these actions. I don't blame her for being pissed. Like, you know, if you're making one little joke, but like when you're doing it and you're saying I'm the official, whatever, I'm Jackson, yeah, that's a stupid thing, man.
Yeah, it's not a nice thing to
first
do.
First of all, it's being a sore loser.
Yeah.
And even Cowboy commented on it. He came out and he wrote.
Right. Well, the UFC did revoke his press.
They did. So, yeah. Cowboy came out, they said, team, I've been a part of Greg Jackson MMA before my first WEC fight. The recent comments made by their social media team doesn't represent the team that I know, love, and fight for. So even Cowboy spoke out and said he thought it was shitty.
Yeah, and Jackson Wink MMA put out a statement saying that, you know, what people didn't know before that was that they caught Cyborg calling Holly a bitch.
Who cares?
Like
that's backstage.
Oh,
wait. Who cares? That's backstage.
Wait, say that again?
So I'll read that. So this is Jackson Wink put out a statement on Facebook saying, in response to our media person's recent Instagram remark about Cyborg, there was a backstory as to why he made this comment. After Cyborg's victory, she was heard backstage by our media guy calling Holly a bitch and laughing at a photo depicting her own toe in Holly's eye. They were heard mocking Holly's performance. Our media guy was defensive of our fighter, et cetera.
Yeah, it's still bullshit. It's private. You overhear something in a dressing room, I get you making a response to that.
Right.
But to actually go out and then say that and go, well, no, I heard her saying something before. No, right. She didn't say it publicly. Then you either have to just come out and call her on it publicly and go, I heard backstage she was saying this. But don't say something completely unrelated and go, oh, no, that was a response to something she said privately that I overheard allegedly.
Right.
Stop it.
Right.
Drama.
Yeah.
We should ask the Cowboy about that.
We will.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so by the way, so let me just wrap this up. December points totals. We're done with December
yes,
for our picks.
I think you won this one.
This event, yes, I had 4 points.
What do we each have, 2?
Now leave Chris. He's allowed to win.
That's true.
Everybody calm down. He's allowed to win.
Jim, you had 2 points, and Matt, you had unfortunately only had 1 point for this.
What do you mean unfortunately? Fortunately.
Fortunately, yeah.
It's a competition.
So for December, Jim, you won the month. You had 13 points.
Of course I did.
Matt, you had 8 points.
Unfortunately.
And I had 9 points.
So Matt came in last.
He
That's
did.
Funny you mentioned Matt second, just so he'd feel like you came in second.
Yeah, that was like a back fist.
Chris, you see that? Yeah, he wanted to make it like
well,
he came
hey, what
in second.
What do I know about fighting?
Hey, Matt, congratulations. You had 8 points. Jim only had 19 and I had 9. Wait.
he came around.
He thinks you're too stupid to realize you lost the month.
He wanted me to go, yay, wait, what?
Yeah.
That made it feel better for you, though.
Yeah, no, Matt did fine.
All right.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/unfiltered. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 33.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else.
The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations, but most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Clay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
Give me some gossip, guys. Give me some news. It's all right. So we already said Chris Medusa is not a big fan of Jackson and Wink. What else do we got going on?
How dare you? Dana White came out about GSP's fighting status.
Oh, my God.
Wow, really? I didn't know he came out.
He seems pissed.
What?
Dana seems really annoyed at this whole thing.
Wait, tell me about this. What's going on?
GSP.
So Dana was talking about GSP's potential, you know, next fight or his fighting status.
Oh, what did he say?
A possible matchup with Conor McGregor because that's what GSP's team has been talking about a little bit.
Oh, can they stop with that?
Dana says, there is no status. I knew what he was doing. That's why I put a mandatory title defense into his contract.
Oh, that's funny.
We both knew what was going on. I don't know, man. I don't think the guy wants to fight. I think he jumped in, grabbed some cash, and went back to Canada. And then he said he ain't fighting Conor McGregor. If he wants to come back, Tyron Woodley or Robert Whittaker is waiting for him. They're both waiting if George wants to
good. I love Dana saying that, but I also wish that there was kind of the same thing with Conor. I know Conor's this $100 million guy, but I do think that it's like, come on, man, it's been over a year already. It's time to fight. You know what I mean? Come on. Yeah. You can't hold up a division that long.
I think Dana, I mean, I don't know, obviously, I think Dana really does believe that Conor is going to come back.
I think so.
Well, he's a very young guy to just go off into the sunset with this
kid. But dude, if he can fight Manny Pacquiao, a fight I don't give a shit about.
No one's
if he can fight Manny Pacquiao, people will watch it, though. They'll watch it. And even if they don't make Floyd money, what will he still make? $60 million or $40 million? More than he's going to make in a UFC fight for not getting kicked or choked.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I guess we'll have to wait and see if this dude's coming back. I just looked at a recently announced fight, by the way. Holy fuck, man. This guy better go back to that barbershop.
Oh my god. Number 10 against there was an odd matchup. 10 against number is that 1 against 10?
Yeah.
Let's announce it.
Yoel Romero versus David Branch.
David Branch.
Main event UFC on Fox Saturday, February 27th, Orlando, Florida.
Let's get David Branch.
February 24th.
What did I say?
Right. 27th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Remind me to give my buddy David Branch a call in the upcoming weeks to have him in here, Chris the producer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Please remind me.
Yep.
Because I want to talk to him anyway. I haven't seen him in a while. And he was in that fight with Luke until it went south.
Yeah.
He was landing.
This is a very dangerous fight, but I admire his nuts, man.
What?
Well, I know what you mean. You're saying that you admire the balls to fight Yoel Romero.
Yes!
But he has to if he's in that division. Listen. You have to fight the number one guy if they offer him to you. I'm surprised Yoel's not getting anybody higher than number 10.
Right. Well, why not? You know, if you're Branch at this point, you've been around the block. He's been a champion in other organizations. Why not? I mean, just go for it.
Exactly. I'm more surprised that Yoel Romero is taking a fight with number 10 because all you're doing is risking. I mean, not that he's going to get a shot at fighting.
Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off, buddy. We got Cowboy calling.
Oh,
right
okay.
Now.
Yeah. That's more important.
There we go.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Jim and Matt. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
What's up, Cowboy?
We were talking before you came about your you sent out on Instagram to comment on the Cyborg remarks made by the media personnel. Do you know her personally, or did you just feel bad about it when you read it?
Yeah, I know her, but regardless of who it was, shit like that. Like if somebody wants to say that, You do that in your own time. You're not the fucking media person of one of the largest MMA schools in the country, and then you fucking just start talking like a total fucking jackass. You know what I mean? So that that's what I had to say about that.
No,
so.
It was great that you. It was great, and it was nice to see. It was one of those things where you felt that it kind of felt like Holly fought such a great fight, even though she lost. I mean, going the distance with Cyborg was incredibly impressive, and then it's overshadowed by this other stuff.
Yeah, it was just asinine, man. So, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, Jackson Wink, we were talking too, and it's such a great school, and it's such a legendary school, and there's been so many champions that has had like a streak of where guys have lost fights. And I know that that's very atypical. That's not common for you guys. Is there a feeling right around the school, like, hey, something's wrong, or how are you guys looking at that?
Yeah, man, it's just wild. I mean, shit, it's not a thing that's a norm, right? Ever since I've been there, we've been a pretty successful squad, but lately we've had a bit of trouble. I mean, look at me, I'm fucking 3 losses. That's the worst I've had ever. It's bullshit, Aldo. So, you know, what's going on?
Well, how are you feeling at the weight? I mean, how are you feeling now? Well, I know you had commented about possibly going back down to lightweight. You felt it made you a bit more focused?
Yeah, I just felt, you know, because, like, I'm like 174, 175 right now. That's like my walk around weight, you know. So for the 70 is easy. I don't have to train nearly as hard. So, but no, I'm not making any excuses, man. I want to go back to 55. My next fight's at 70, of course. But I mentioned to the UFC that I want to go back to 155. And so we'll talk about it. See what's going on after this fight. So I was like, all right. But who knows? I don't know. I'm not here making excuses and saying it's the weight or it's this or it's that. I had a bad run luck, I guess. Get my ass whipped. I figure something out.
I don't think anybody thinks you make excuses. Honestly, I think that's the last thing people would accuse you of, because you take fights that sometimes people are like, why is he taking that fight? He doesn't have to. So, I mean, you're known as a guy who likes to fight every 2 days. So I don't think anybody thinks you're making excuses.
Okay. Good. Perfect.
What's new with the extreme sports, Cowboy? Anything new you're trying, or is there anything left that you have not tried?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because we just got into extreme downhill mountain biking. I'll tell you what, if someone 2 years ago asked me if I'd ever get on a mountain bike, I'd be like, for what? Pedal my ass off until you do it. And holy shit. So that's my new thing I've been doing is extreme downhill mountain biking. Dude. Pretty impressive.
What do you love about it?
Just the fucking adrenaline dump that it is. I mean, you're literally a white knuckle hold on ride. It's fun. Plus, you got to work out. You got to pedal your ass up the hill. So it's a slash workout and a good time. Double feature.
Yeah, but you wipe out on, I mean, it sounds like common sense, but if you wipe out going downhill, it sounds very dangerous. In a sense, if you wipe out, you're going to be fucked up pretty bad, no?
Yeah, I'm pretty fucked up right now. I wiped out, broke my frame, and got a couple of bruises on my back. But I'm going to bounce back.
Oh, well, you got a little bit before your fight, though. So that's good.
Yeah.
How annoyed was Dana when you got a mountain bike?
Oh, I'm sure he just looked at my Instagram. He's like, oh, fucking kid.
Why don't you try something a little easier, like hot air ballooning? You get a nice scenery, you're fucking up high. And
or
then...
chess. Play chess.
The only reason I'm going up in the hot air balloon is a fucking base jump out of it, so...
Yo, what? No, wait. Did you ever try those squirrel suits yet? What is that? What it's called?
So you need 200. You need 200 registered jumps before you can get into a squirrel suit. I've already looked into it, and I'm at about 38 jumps. So I got some time to go.
Cowboy, don't listen. I'm not. I have, you know, we're friendly enough, but don't do that, Cowboy. Don't do it. No, don't do it, man. That's got disaster written. That's got disaster. What is the? Is there any statistics on these people jumping like that? Because I see the GoPros, and sometimes I'm thinking, is this? How do they?
They're flying. It's amazing.
I'm like, how do they know that they're going to be going over these trees and eventually just come into a land somewhere that's? You know what I mean? Like, how do they? Who charters this thing? Like, who like maps this thing out for these people?
The crazy lunatic that did it right before him, and they were like, yep, that worked. You guys are good.
Man, are you got to put a GoPro with that.
Hey, would you go to Dubai? I heard Dubai is doing this thing where you go, like, they have these 100-story buildings where you're going to be able to zip line off the building, like, all the way down to the ground from a 100-story building. Would you do that?
Fuck yeah, in a second.
Now listen, it's all fun and games. You heard about the Chinese stunt guy that
who fell, yeah,
that recorded his own death.
He was an extreme climber. Do you have do, that's you, a little you ever do extreme climbing where these guys do that, like that, you know, where they're on a building
so
or something?
I do a lot of climbing, but I've never done anything where they do it without the rope. I won't do that. That's crazy. That's ludicrous. So I definitely want a rope attached.
And you like to jump out of planes? Like you enjoy doing that?
Yes. Absolutely.
What's the height you start at when you first jump?
Ours was 10,000 feet, I think, is what we first started jumping at.
And was it what you? What did it feel like when you leave the plane? Is it what you thought it was going to be, or did it feel different?
Yeah. Have you ever been on, you know, that roller coaster ride when you're at the amusement park where the battleship and it goes back and forth, like, and you kind of lose your stomach? That's the feeling. It's like you like lose your stomach, and then once you're out in the air and you're skydiving, it's just. Reminds me of Point Break. You remember watching Point Break when you were a kid? And you're like, God, hell yeah, how cool! Except for you can't talk like they do. You know, like Utah, you badass. Like, no, you can't communicate back and forth.
I love that movie. Jimmy likes the remake better. He told me.
I certainly do. I mean, Pat Swayze just makes me too sad these days. So you lose your stomach. Does that mean you feel like you're gonna puke?
No, you just like you feel like your balls are up in your throat.
Oh yeah.
You know, come out the plane, then you're flying.
Is there an instinct when you're falling like that? Is there an instinct to, like, you know, like when people fall, they like paddle and flail crazy? Do you have to tell yourself?
I'm sorry, that's not a bad question.
Yeah, they do. You ever watch people fall? Is there an instinct to do that? You have to tell yourself, no, just put your arms out and float or fly.
No, you have to fly in like a synchronized kind of system because. One move of your left foot will make you spin to the right. You know what I mean? So you have to like control your, like when you go to pull your chute, you have to counterbalance, put your hand in front of you. So they teach you to like look at your altimeter while you're pulling your chute just to keep even, you know, because if you don't, you'll get in a wicked spin or start rolling. So you got to fly, man. It's crazy.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea that it was a balance thing. And what do they tell you to do? Because the guy who jumped in the for the Red Bull jump, Philippe something, he did the high jump out of 120,000 feet. At one point...
Yeah, the spaceship.
Did you see when he went into that spin? He spun for a while because he was in no air. So, or very right. thin air. So what do you do to get yourself out of a spin?
You got to just like hang a leg out or hang an arm out and try and right the wrong, you know? But typically, if you're in a spin and you're like, I don't know, if you pull your chute, it's going to right you. I mean,
it will.
Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't do it.
I'm not into that shit either. Leave that for Cowboy.
It scares me.
Now, Cowboy, you said eventually you want to go back down to lightweight. What is it about this fight that excited you at welterweight?
Oh, for one, the UFC just called and offered it, so I was like, yep, okay.
There you go. That's it. Did it matter? Does it matter okay. Does it matter who it is? Does it really matter at all who they
no,
offer?
No, it doesn't.
That's great.
Well, I was going back to 155, you know, and I thought the fight was supposed to be with Matt Brown. Matt Brown called and like begged UFC for the fight and told him that, you know, he wanted to do it. So originally the fight was me and Matt Brown in Austin main event. So I was like, all right, I want to go to down to 55, but fuck it, whatever, no problem. So then they said, well, now Matt, I guess the date doesn't work for him. I don't know what the excuse was. So I said, okay, so now here I am, main event Austin by myself. And then Yancey's like, I'll do it. And then, so I said, okay, here we go.
What's interesting is that you guys already fought and you knocked out Matt Brown.
Right.
So why, that's an interesting fight to make again, unless it's just, that you both be going to lightweight because Matt Brown, I don't believe ever.
Yeah,
lightweight.
He just you know, he's talking about retirement. And I guess maybe that's just a fight that he wants redemption. He doesn't want to go out like that. I have no idea. He was just asking for a fight, and I was obliged to give it to him.
It's so funny, and not funny, but like guys, like he was leaving the UFC, and he had. I'm sorry, who did he just beat? Matt Brown,
Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course he beat
Sanchez.
Diego. Yeah,
Diego Sanchez.
And that would have been a great note for him to go off into the sunset. But that's part of being a fighter, man. Guys get that feeling. Yep. Well, they get that one more. And that was a vicious elbow he did. So he has that feeling of probably feels so powerful after that. And it's probably hard to walk away now. That's wild, Cowboy. Got to throw him in his squirrel shoes. Guys, some
squirrel
guys.
Squirrel suit, not squirrel shoes. What are squirrel shoes?
Yeah, you know what that is exactly, Jimmy. But no, guys, what happens is when they get done with the fighting, they need some kind of an adrenaline or some kind of extreme hobby or something. Because I'm dealing with that with some guys now that used to fight and they're close to me and they can't fight anymore. And it's like, we gotta find a different hobby for some of these guys, you know?
Yeah, you gotta chase the feeling.
Exactly, man. It's so hard for these guys, man, because you know the deal. It's such a hard feeling to simulate with something else, you know?
Oh, my God. Yes, for sure.
Got to get him to stand-up comedy, Jimmy.
What do you look for? I mean, you're only 34. You obviously have years of fighting left, but you've had 42 fights. What do you look for? What do you think of when you retire? Have you kind of thought, like, yeah, maybe in a few years I might want to do this?
I'm going to be a movie star. Going into the movies, baby.
You are? Now, have you taken any acting lessons?
I'm gonna be the next John Wayne up in this motherfucker. All right. No acting lessons.
So you just kind of want to do action films?
Yeah, I'm just going to, action, exactly.
Have you done any?
I just got done filming Equalizer 2 with Denzel. It was a lot of fun.
Man. Oh, that's pretty cool. Do you have scenes with him?
Yeah, I do.
And how was it?
It was a lot of fun, man. It was a great learning experience. You know, it's a whole different world. Totally different world. So it's crazy, though.
Did you fuck up any of your lines?
No, didn't. That did not fuck up any.
That's pretty impressive.
Pretty easy.
Look at that.
Nah, I mean, when you watch like a movie in its whole integrity, you would think, wow, it's a lot of lines. But when they're filming it, you shoot the same scene all day long. So if me and you have, you know, dialogue back and forth, we say the same thing back and forth.
Yep.
20 times to each other, you know, just all day. Same, this angle, that angle. It's crazy. So it's not like huge. You know, crazy thing you have to memorize. You got to remember fucking four lines, and then they do it for the day. So
yeah, close-ups, reversals, the why. Yeah, there are a million different. And then at one point, you're like, you got it. How many times you need this shit?
Yeah, exactly. You got it. Okay, you got it. Right? It's funny.
But you don't realize when you're watching a movie and you see two people talking, and then there's a close-up and a close-up, and then the shot behind them. Each shot takes a couple hours. Like there's like 8 hours
just
that when
to set up. Yeah, just to set. Set the shot up takes an hour, you know. Set it up, shoot it, exactly. It's crazy.
What's your character's name in it?
Man, that's a good question. I don't even know.
Oh, you don't remember?
Yeah, I don't. We're like, did you ever see Equalizer 1?
I did not.
Well, I did.
Well, Matt did.
In there that she kind of plays Denzel's like mentor. He goes to her and seeks for advice and allows for him to take out these bad guys anyways. My character in Equalizer 2 kills her. So he like comes after us and gets us and blows us up. So it's pretty cool. But I don't really have a name. I don't like, they don't call me anything. I have like lines, but okay. No one's like, Hey Donald, you know, I don't have a name.
How many days did you shoot? Was it a one day shoot?
No, we were there 45 days, I think.
Oh, you was okay. I was a real film. Isn't it weird too how nice everyone treats you on a film set? It's weird. Like no matter what you want, you know, they run and get your coffee. Yeah. You hungry? Coffee. You want food?
Yeah, you want lobster, scrambled eggs. What do you want? Yeah, you name it, they get. It's crazy.
Well, I guess me and Chris the producer are out of this conversation. Huh, Chris the producer?
Yeah,
these two Hollywood guys. Oh, you know when you're. Isn't it annoying when you're in your trailer and they knock on the door? I'm sorry, guys. Go ahead.
No, but I'm saying you're not used to that. Like, I'm not used to that. And when people are like, I get self-conscious. I'm like, no, I'll get the coffee. Just tell me where it is. But they're like, no, we'll get it.
Yeah.
Or they invite you to set because Hollywood is so polite. They don't want to just say, get your fucking ass on the set. So they're like, we'd like to invite you to set.
They're so liberal. That's the problem. They're liberals. They're too. If they do something wrong, everyone's going to come down on them. So they have to just kiss everyone's ass. That's how it works.
Yeah, so you think they just don't want to demand that you go anywhere. They want to invite you.
Exactly.
All right, well, speaking of your fight, let's talk about your fight with Yancy Medeiros. It is UFC Fight Night Austin, Sunday, February the 18th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, January the 5th. Now, he's currently riding a three-fight win streak, and you're coming off a couple.
He's on a three-fight win. I'm on a three-fight lose. What the fuck is going on here?
Well, style-wise, this makes for a very, very exciting fight.
Fucking streak must go. That's what this is going to be.
Yes.
But it's funny, dude, when you've lost three fights, when other guys lose three fights, people start saying, is it the end? I haven't heard that at all about you. People still just want to see you fight, and people know you're taking a lot of fights. So I don't think anybody worries about what streak you're on or thinks about it whenever you fight. I just happen to see it because it's in front of me.
I really, it doesn't, like, everyone asks, like, in interviews are like, so you're on a three-fight losing streak. How is that, like, how is that mentally affecting you? I'm like, fuck, I didn't even think about it until your cocksuckers brought it up.
That's great.
Yeah.
Not to mention that fight with Robbie Lawler was a close fight. Yeah. It was a split. You know what I'm saying?
So.
Yeah, man. We know the game. But listen, you got all money. We're watching you, buddy.
All right. Good.
Stop riding fucking motorcycles and bikes and jumping out of planes, dude. You're fucking crazy. And, you know, it's like fighting is dangerous enough. You don't need more danger than fighting.
You're right, but I love it. I love it.
Does Dana try to get you to stop that stuff?
No, he used to, but now he just says, you know what, fuck it, you've never pulled out of a fight, you've never not showed up to fight, so do you, cowboy.
Do what you got to do. All right, well, good luck, man. The fight, February 18th, tickets on sale this Friday. It's UFC Fight Night in Austin against Yancy Medeiros. That's an incredible fight. And good luck, man. We always enjoy talking to you.
Thank you.
Take care,
appreciate
cowboy.
It, guys.
All right, take care, buddy.
All righty.
Bye.
Later, boys.
All right, man. Yeah, that was nice. It's nice to hear from Cowboy. We have fun when he's in studio too.
That extreme biking down—it doesn't sound like anything. But you ever see GoPro footage of those guys? Dude,
it's horrifying.
It's scary.
Just think
man.
About
so
just
scary.
Saying it. You're going downhill on a fucking bike.
You can always slow down. You can always hit the handbrake. I know. I would.
Have you seen a video, Matt, of this?
I think I did. Yeah, I believe.
I mean, these guys—the ones you're probably going to pull up—are like these are guys who do it.
The
squirrel
suit's the one that gets me though.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I looked it up. 20 of the 31 base jumping deaths in 2016 were squirrel suit related.
People go right into a fucking mountain.
31 people died doing base jumping last year. 20 of them involved the squirrel suit. If you
what the fuck,
because they will go right into a mountain.
If you include the entry level like training wingsuit, the number's 27 of 31.
That's fucking brutal,
dude. They fucking
enough of these suits
because they want to fly and they jump out of it and they go wee right into a
fucking
mountain.
This is what you do.
So scary.
This is what you do. You go into the world that I go to, the virtual reality.
That's right.
So much fun. If people are like, yo, I want to play paintball. Or they want, or I'll be like, yeah, I'll go on my virtual reality. I'm shooting things.
Yeah, you could do the downhill mountain bike and just in your vibe.
Yeah, this is crazy. Like, I would like to go down this slowly.
Right.
I would go down this at a safe, smart
pace. I would play
pace,
this on my Vive.
A leisurely pace.
Look at his ass. Look at these assholes.
I would never.
Oh, I'm on a bike. I'm going downhill. La-dee-da.
That looks pretty fun, though. Yeah. I mean, but you got to be really good on a bike, and I'm not.
Yeah, you need to be so
the word
focused.
Yeah, that is a tremendous workout. Jumping off ramps. Fuck you. I'm not doing that.
But this makes sense, though, for somebody like Cowboy or whatever, a fighter.
Look
because
at that
it's,
shit.
How are you going to mimic going out to a fight, you know?
I mean, you get hurt worse doing this, though. I mean,
oh, for
these
sure.
guys are all in ramps one
dude,
after
the
other.
Fuck?
I like a small ramp.
Yeah.
I like a little ramp.
I like a big rump. I don't know.
I do, too.
I like a big hiney.
This is very scary.
Look at this. All right, guys, we're just watching the fucking...
Well, there's a couple of other fights that we did not announce.
Yeah, let's talk, man. Let's talk. Oh,
because Donald
Stefan Struve versus Andre Arlovski.
Yeah, that's an interesting fight.
That's in March 3rd. March 3rd?
That's from Vegas. It's UFC 222. That's not the main event, but it's still... and Andrade against Tiesha Torres, we didn't say... I think, don't we have her picked to be the champion next year?
Yes, you do.
No disrespect to Rose Namajunas, who has still not announced the fight. Now, is she hurt or no?
Huh?
No, I think okay. I don't know if she's hurt, but I don't think so.
Maybe they don't know if Yan Jacek is going to get the immediate rematch.
Yeah, they're probably still trying to figure that out. Because who knows? I mean, to me, I think Joanna might really consider going up to 125.
Okay.
Because she had a bad weight cut. I'm just saying that. I don't know. But
Jimmy, what's the rest of your day like, Jimmy?
I have to see my superintendent because of the flooding and insurance. I have the floor guy coming today to look at my floors to tell me how much work needs to be done. They're cutting a hole in my wall. It's a whole fucking thing, Matt. I'm looking at weeks and weeks and weeks of problems here. Well, it is what it is, though. You know what? Instead of feeling sorry for myself, I say, hey, I'm lucky I was home.
You really are, actually, though.
Really am lucky, right?
Yeah.
I'm a lucky boy.
I'm lucky, Jimmy.
Yes, you are.
I'm lucky to have this gig. I'm happy you're back, Jimmy.
Thank you. Even though they're getting ready to get rid of me. I think Chris knows that. He's hoping that he's going to step in. Although Chris is a good MMA guy.
This is what I want to hear. I want to hear how this thing is doing because there's so many people that come up to me and I get so much love from this damn show.
I've been getting trolled online. What? This one guy on Twitter blocked Dana something.
Dana White? Sorry, I ran right into that. Dana, do I know him? I got that wrong.
Matt said Dana White.
I got worried for you, dude. I wasn't listening fully. You got me. But this is the thing. This is the thing, Jimmy. I want to know how the show's doing. Could people out there do it? This is what we have. We have a little homework assignment. Yeah. We're not giving it. Listen, it's not. Don't get upset, people. Friends of the show. I say friends. I don't want to say fans. That's sure. too cocky.
Yeah, fan worshippers.
But the thing is this. You know, you gotta spread the word of this show. That's all I'm saying, Jim. Yeah. I don't have nothing really planned. I'm just saying.
I'll miss it when it's over.
They have to spread the word because people are gonna miss us.
Will you miss it when it's over? I will.
This?
Yeah.
That it's going to be awkward because you're going to be. See how you avoid me now afterwards when I try to get a slice of pizza?
That's the only reason I avoid you.
I'm blocking my phone after
dude,
this.
Dude, I eat like a pig in France. I eat bread, desserts, fucking Michelin restaurants. Cowboy. I'm like, I will eat anything.
Every time he kept saying he jumps out of a plane, you lose your stomach. I go, I got to lose my stomach. It's not the same thing.
Would you jump out of a plane?
What?
Would you?
No.
Would you zip line?
No. I wouldn't either. I'm too heavy for that.
I would zip line down like 30. No, I would zip line like 30 feet.
Yeah.
But off a 1,000-foot building, it's crazy.
I say I won't do some crazy shit, but I rode a bull. I did some fucking crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, on Dana White Looking for a Fight. I was on a trapeze.
Ooh.
You like that show, Dana White Looking for a Fight?
I do.
We're going to have to end soon because I have to use the bathroom. I didn't go before we got, when we started.
I have to make a wee.
I have to do something like that.
Yeah. But like a bird.
What do you mean?
It all comes out of one hole.
That's fucking...
Like a mermaid.
Like a mermaid, yeah, exactly.
But listen, guys, I'm happy to be back. What else we got to talk about?
I just want to plug that I'm going to be January 19th in St. Louis and then Kansas City on the 20th. I will be performing in... where the fuck am I? I got Liberty Hall in Kansas, and I also got Warren, Michigan, the Andiamo Dinner Theater, and Grand Rapids, Michigan. Then the Comedy Works. I asked them to give me like every other weekend off, and he's got me booked every fucking weekend. Why am I saying this on the air? So who cares?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a these are problems you want
to
have.
No, but I asked for a little bit of time, like just to you know,
collect your thoughts.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, listen, Jimmy, I'd plug something, but I'm not going to because I just want to plug this show. I want this show to keep going, and. I gotta change my name on my Vive.
Okay.
What should I be? Kimura Man?
Yes.
Ugh, I need this. No. Should I be Kimura Man 101?
No.
Should I be
Kimura
Man? How about Espresso Oof. And Kimuras? How about I Love Kimuras?
How about Karate Chops with a Z at the end?
I have to think of a horrible. Good name. I can't have my own name, Jimmy. And I don't want something too too infantile.
How about choke artist.
I don't like that one, Jimmy.
Why? Because it sounds like you choke, but you fall apart, but you really do choke people.
You don't like Kimura Man?
I've never hated anything more, including ISIS. Kimura Man?
I was going to put something like, I love Kimuras.
We'll work on it. You work on it.
How about Kimura Matt?
No, they know it's
That's
me.
Terrible also.
They're going to know it's me anyway. But I have to think of stuff I love.
All right. How about
Jimmy?
All right. I wasn't going to say what you're thinking.
Your brain overloaded.
Yeah, you thought I was going to say something like large
Kimuras.
Dicks.
I love Kimuras. How about I don't know. I got to think of a cool man. Name. I can't Oof. Do the Terra. I can't do the Terra. Then I'm like, ooh, the Terra's playing.
Oof, Kimura Man. That's going to bother me for weeks. That offended my system.
Kimura Man.
Kimura Man.
Who are you? Oh, look who just joined the party. It's Kimura Man.
Yeah.
I'll get us to the chopper. Oh. It's Kimura Man. You don't like Kimura Man?
No.
It just came to me.
No.
All right.
Ripping Kimuras? I don't know, maybe.
Ripping Kimuras? Kimuras my band? Huh? Jimmy, it's to play video games. It's not like I have to... I'm not like changing my name like the fucking...
No, I understand.
You know?
Yeah.
Wait, you don't like it?
Which one?
I like when you and fucking... You and Cowboy are sitting there. Oh, and the movie set me. Oh, I was just on a movie thing.
But
I was playing in an orc movie. Jimmy.
My point was simply... It's foreign to have people go, I'll get you coffee. And they're like, no, I'll do it.
I mean, I get you coffee and almonds. And
as a friend, you do, but I don't, it's a different tone.
Yeah.
There's coffee here. I'm like, do we have the, I don't know where the almonds are. It's not like when you're on a set, you're like, it's a panic.
Maybe you guys didn't see a little show called the Max Carnwell. What's his name again? What's the Blue Walk's name? Carnage. Blue Carnage fucking story. I did not. Huh? Well, maybe you should.
Tell me where to see it. You don't even know. Can you got to tell me where to see it.
I'll text you the link. I'll find it.
Please do.
I
want to
tell me. I'm telling you. Tell the audience.
I thought you just shot it.
It's
so
on YouTube.
Done.
You know what's called on YouTube? What? History Will Be Made or some shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, how do I want
to Max Carnile.
You never
story.
Told me that.
I'm telling you.
It's
now.
The first time hearing it.
It's like a million. How about like a million people seeing this already on YouTube?
I don't know that world. I literally thought you were still in post-production.
I think you're being mean.
No, I'm not. I mean, you shot it, so I'm like, a lot of times, I thought it was part of a film that was being made. So I thought you had a scene in a film that was being made, and like it would come out whenever
it
came
there you
out.
Go. You go right, you go to the UFC's YouTube page, and it's History is Being Made, Blue Carnage makes his Octagon debut.
Okay.
1.1 million downloads.
Thank you
very
much.
Or whatever,
much. Oh,
views
wow.
in 4 days.
Wow. Are you still, so you started downloads. How are we on this on the downloads? Do you know any stats on that?
Yeah, I have stats. Well, I'm not going to say it on the show. Well, can you give talk about it.
Are you ashamed of it? Are we doing okay?
We don't reveal.
Are we doing okay?
We're doing great, of course.
Great is better than okay. Jimmy, I need this to keep going, Jimmy. I got 3 kids.
All right.
Okay, Jimmy. Listen to me. I'm happy you're back. Stop doing that so you show that your belly and you don't have a belly.
Oh, my belly's
you're
awful. So cool.
You're in a movie set all day and you're not fat. Okay. I'm sorry, Jen. I didn't mean to attack you. Mm-hmm. You don't like Gamora, man? Should I not use that? I was going to use it. It's my
it's
name.
It's abysmal.
Gamora, man.
Terrible.
He must like Gamora's.
It's awful.
How about...
What if
how
you
about,
did Gamora mom? Just throw people off. They don't know what to do.
I'm going to boo you. Okay. I'm going to fucking Gamora mom. I don't even like the fact that you guys are making jokes about my video game.
Gamora man
is
terrible.
Me. I'm not going to do Gamora man. You really turned me off of that. Yeah. How about espresso and Gamora's?
I didn't think it could get worse.
But I like espresso and I love Gamora's.
I want to
do things
you
like, why can't, all right. How about things I hate? I'm not going to say Jimmy Norton. I love no. Jimmy Norton. Jimmy. That was mean.
Why don't you put that? Espresso's Jimmy Norton and Gamora's.
I'm going to come up with a cool. How about this? Uh-huh. Let's have the fans come up with a cool name for my
cool.
Vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, Gamora's and Pukaki.
No one's gonna give a shit.
Yeah, you're gonna get a lot of shitty suggestions.
Cuckold and Gamora's. Cuckold and Gamora's. All right, listen, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, bye.
That's it. All right, goodbye, everybody.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.